Breast Cancer Awareness Month, held in October every year, was created in 1985 to promote screening and prevention of the disease, which affects 1 in 8 women, in the United States every year, and 2.3 women worldwide. Known best for its pink theme color, the month features a number of campaigns and programs conducted by groups ranging from breast cancer advocacy organizations to local community organizations to major retailers. This information is provided by breastcancer.org. Breast cancer is the most fatal health issue for Black women and is the most common cancer among Black women. Survival rate is for a 5-year is 81% for Black women versus 91% for white women. Sisters Network is a national African-American breast cancer survivorship organization celebrating almost 3 decades in the fight against cancer. Awareness, awareness, awareness. We're going to be talking about how breast cancer affects Black women, and no, we are survivors. This evening, October 27, 2022, we'll be hearing from the Sisters Network, Inc., a chapter out of Austin, Texas, with some special guests, as well as callers who will share the survivorship stories, facts, and figures. Welcome to Miss Inez Says, Let's Talk About It. I am Miss Inez, CEO and fashion designer of Anais Daku Designs, broadcasting to you worldwide. So please call in to 845-241-9985. Again, that number is 845-241-9985 to join in the conversation. And if you are a breast cancer survivor in remission, know someone going through the journey, or just find out you have just been diagnosed with breast cancer, share this number so we can support you and let you know you are not alone. And I want to welcome all of our guests to this evening's hailing out of Austin, Texas, from the Sisters Network, Inc., founded in 1944, celebrating almost 3 decades in the fight against breast cancer. And I will let them introduce themselves. I know we have Deborah Duncan Hurdle, and we're going to give her an applause. So we want to clap our hands. Come on, everybody, clap your hands. That's what we do here. Give everybody a clap. We have Miss Melinda Walker as well. Let's give her a hand, please, as well. And we have Alice Fulton. Let's give her a hand, praise, as well. And we do have other ladies on the line, and I'll probably be calling their extension since we do have quite a few. So please, ladies, mute your lines. I'm going to have you unmuted on my side, but I wish that you would unmute until it's time for you to speak so we don't have a whole bunch of background noise. If you would be so kind as to do that, please.
Shut up, somebody. You ain't finna. You shut up.
See? Okay, I'm gonna just go ahead and mute everybody because we know what happened. So, Ms. Deborah Duncan, if you want to go ahead and introduce yourself, and if you want to introduce the next person as well after that and let me know.
Well, good evening. I am Deborah Duncan Hurdle, Austin, Texas. And I'd like to first thank Ms. Inez for giving this opportunity to be on this podcast tonight and impart some education and knowledge and love and bless those who are tuned in. I would first like to ask if our president is on, Ms. Melinda Walker, so we can have her at least introduce herself. I know she has to step out and come back in. So if she is in, if she would actually introduce herself as our leader of our organization and share with us our mission and our slogan, our motto.
Okay. if she gave us that 655 number, I do not see that. I will unmute everyone because unless she's calling from another number. So if Miss Melinda is out there, I'm unmuting the line, so we want everybody to mute themselves. And Miss Walker, go ahead and speak. If you are not there, Deborah, you want to have somebody else speak since I do not see her number?
I will move forward, and then I will ask if you need me to say something more. So I want to say that we've been around since the 90s. I think it was 1994 that we organized, and I do have another founding member. I'm one of the founding members of Sisters Network, Austin Affiliate Chapter Incorporated, and I think we may have one or two others who are the founders of our group online tonight. And we want everyone to know that Sisters Network, Inc. is a national African-American breast cancer survivorship organization, and we are the only black national breast cancer survivorship that is also run by black women.
Amen. And, hey, you know what? We're going to give you a hand clap for that because that's not heard of. So we want to give them a hand clap for being the only, being the founders for almost 30 years. So let's you know what the devil is about. Yes, go ahead.
Thank you. And I would be remiss not to mention our national founder, who is Mrs. Karen Jackson in Houston, Texas. That's where our headquarters is located. And this was her brainchild some years ago when she was diagnosed because there was no place for black women to go. And those of us who are on the phone tonight who are from Austin, we experienced the same thing. When we were diagnosed and we went to our doctors, there wasn't a black organization for African-American women or women of color to reach out to each other. So that's how we actually started our organization, because there was such a need. And out of that need, our national founder, Ms. Karen Jackson, she did come up with some very strong mottos and other kinds of wonderful things that we could share with each other. And our motto, first of all, is Stop the Silence. And Sisters Network, for those who may not know, is committed to increasing local and national attention to the devastating impact of breast cancer, what it has in African-American women. And as you mentioned, Ms. Inez, when you first came on, you talked about how it is such a devastating condition for African-American women. And what my experience has been when we see people who look like us, women who look like us, come in the emergency room, that's usually where they're diagnosed, in the emergency room, and they're usually in stage three when they show up. So that's why this group is a support group, and it has been known through research that women or anyone who is a member of a support group has increased their lifespan. And our creed, our national creed, is in unity there is strength, in strength there is power, in power there is change. So I will stop right there and turn it back over to you, Ms. Inez, unless you have something else for me to share. But I'd love to come back at another time and share some other nuggets.
Oh, not a problem. And I see that because I had gone on the website, and any one of you can answer this who would like to. I'm gonna.
You can.
I don't want to mute too many people because I don't know who's going to be speaking, but I'm just going to mute most folks, and if you have someone that you know will speak on the what I'm going to talk about, because I see that there is a 2022 Karen E. Jackson Breast Cancer Assistance Program, which is BCAP for short. There's an application that closes November the 4th, correct?
Say that again. I didn't hear you.
There is a Karen E. Jackson France Breast Cancer Assistance Program application that closes November the 4th at 6 p.m. Central Standard Time. And, I mean, I can tell the people what that's about if you'd like me to.
Absolutely. Please do so.
Okay. What that is, it provides financial assistance to breast cancer survivors in active treatment. BCAP, which is the Breast Cancer Assistance Program, is designed to assist breast cancer survivors nationwide, not just in Austin, y'all. I said nationwide, who are currently in treatment facing financial hardships, because you know those treatments and everything else going through therapy, chemotherapy, radiation, and everything, it's costly. And so there is this assistance program out there by the founder, Karen E. Jackson, and it helps you financially while receiving chemo, radiation, and the program provides up to $350 in financial assistance for utility, rent, or mortgage expenses, and payments are made, looks like, directly to the third-party person. So if you're paying rent to Johnny down the street, that's who the money is going to go to, Johnny down the street. And so so there is assistance to those of you who think that you can't find assistance or can't get assistance, and that is on the website. And Deborah, if you want to give them the website that's out there for the Sisters Network.
Please continue. I actually do not have that in front of me.
Not a problem. That website is right here because I have it out there.
Good.
Okay,
you have it,
ahead.
Alice?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I do, too. Uh-huh. Go ahead, Alice.
Good evening. My name is Alice Fulton, and I am a survivor 2 times today.
Amen.
I wanted
Amen.
To give you that. First, before I give you the website, I just wanted to make sure that to clear some clarification about the this is our national, and they're the ones that are offering the financial help. So it would be only through their website that you can get it. The local chapters are, we're not involved. We have our own protocol
assistance program
for helping those that are in need. Yes, ma'am. Each chapter have their own program. So if you have a chapter that's closer to you, then you can contact them. But if you only can get to the Sisters International website, then their website is www.sistersnetworkinc.org. Again, that's www.sisters, that sister is with the S, networkinc.org. You can contact them through their website. They have Facebook so that you can contact them at any time. Thank you.
And you talk about chapters. There's 23 affiliate chapters throughout the U.S., so one could be near you.
Yes.
And I'm going to give the number. So if you guys want to contact or somebody has financial troubles and needs financial assistance, I'm going to give out the number so you can contact the Sisters Network International chapter. And that number is, get your pens and papers out, ladies, or you type it on your phone, 866-781-1808. Again, that's 866-781-1808. And if you didn't get that information, you can always go back and listen to this broadcast, and it's and I'll give it to you later on in the program that you can go back and listen and share with those of you who might know somebody who has breast cancer, is going through breast cancer, or needs financial assistance, or just needs someone to talk to. And I know that we have someone who has stories out there, so I don't know who wants to go first with their stories of survivorship, of what they've gone through. So we women know that we are not alone. We're not going through this by yourself. And so you can always reach out to the Sisters Network, Inc.org, and say, hey, I'm going through this. I don't want to go through this by myself. I hear you're a Black women's organization, and that's, you know, I heard this, you know, out there, and I wish to get some assistance, or at least talk to someone who's gone through and who has survived. So, Ms. Deborah or Ms. Alice, I don't know if you want to talk about your stories or what have you, but I'm going to go down the line, and if anybody wants to talk about their stories, they're more than welcome to. So some of you are on mute, so go ahead.
Well, good evening again. This is Alice, mm-hmm. and I'll uh-huh. get to my story in just a second. I want to give you some facts and figures.
Okay.
First of all, about breast cancer, because sometimes what ends up happening is that you think as soon as they say the cancer word, you don't even get to the breast mm-hmm. part first, and they'll say breast cancer. You begin mm-hmm. to get mm-hmm. nervous. But facts and figures. Breast cancer is the most fatal health issue for Black women. Breast cancer is the most common cancer among Black women. Black women have a 31% breast cancer mortality rate, the highest of any U.S. racial or ethnic group. Sisters Network, Inc. is a national African American breast cancer survivorship organization celebrating 3 decades in the fight against breast cancer. But Black women are 42% more likely to die of breast cancer. Black women fear a cancer diagnosis and often avoid the screening. Ladies, we need to get those mammograms. Black women under 35 get breast cancer at 2 times the rate of white women. Black women account for 12.5% of all new breast cancer cases and 15.5% of all breast cancer deaths. Black women have a 2.3 times higher odds of being diagnosed with triple negative breast cancer. Among women who negative cancer than other types. So what I'm saying, ladies, this is the reason why I gave you the facts and the figures on that, is because one of the things that is really is crucial and it's critical that you check yourself. That's the reason why I say mammogram is so important for that. You go regularly to your OBGYN and get checked. But one thing about it is that the most important thing is we have to know our body. Sometimes what it is that something that might look like it's a pimple might not just be a regular pimple. Sometimes you feel a little lump and you think, well, I hit something and it's going to go away. That is not the case. On my case, my first time that I was diagnosed, it was in 2014. And when I had just went to the OBGYN about 2 weeks before, and she checked me and everything was okay. But when I, a couple of weeks later, what it was is that I felt around and I felt a lump. It was not a big one, but it was one that I knew that wasn't there. That's the reason why I say check your body. I knew that it wasn't there, and I knew that it wasn't my imagination, and it just didn't get there. Mm-hmm. So I said, well, she missed that really well. So I started calling people. And it's funny, the funny part of the story is that I call an oncologist first. And the oncologist said, well, why did you start with me first? And I said, I'm just going to the source. So he said, okay, I will be your quarterback. He said, I will be your quarterback. I will coordinate those. So with him getting behind it and running tests, then they found out that it was cancerous. Thank God it was only like a pea size, but it was an aggressive cancer. That's why I say little bump, big bump, little hump, whatever you feel that you know that should not be there, you need to get it checked out. Because he said if you had not come in and you caught this at this time, it was a very aggressive cancer that you have, and we were able to stop that. So I had to go through radiation after I had surgery and everything, and during that time I had some other complications in there, but I had to do radiation at that time. But I'm going to tell you, the reason why you need to know your body is because once you've had chemo or radiation, your body still tends to hold that within. And it takes a long time, a very long time. I'm not just saying like, next year you'll be okay. I'm saying the doctors don't tell you this. The doctors don't tell you everything. That's why you have to know your own body. I was asking questions when I went to the radiologist, and even though it was they felt that it was just a small, they thought it was just a small dose of radiation, that I wouldn't have any problems. But as black women, we know that we are more heavy-chested than the white women. So, you know, you have to ask questions according to you and your body.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was like, I asked him, I said, well, will it burn? I've heard that it burns your skin sometimes. Oh, no, you're just getting a little dose. It won't, you, no, you won't. About middle ways of my radiation treatment, I got a third degree burn that it took a week for it to heal. And it was like, I asked you from the beginning, and he said, I wasn't expecting that. And it was like, because you're not used to big breast women. That's what it is. But what it is that it taught me that everything that comes out of their mouth is not 100%, because as it was on in the fact, white women are diagnosed differently than black women. See, because black women have so many other underlying illnesses and sickness that you might react to something that's not there. The same way with the second time I was diagnosed. I just had a mastectomy the end of last year on the opposite breast, because they found cancer cells, but they wasn't looking for the cancer cells, and we had to literally tell the doctor, yes, we're going to get that checked. And when we did, it was cancer cells there. And the only thing that did is that I didn't have to go through the liquid chemo. But ever since 2014, I have been on the chemo pills, which sometimes it gives you the same effect. It gives you the same effect, side effects, as some of the chemo does, just a lighter version of the chemo. But I'm still on that.
Okay.
And my doctor thought it was really, I should be celebrating because I got two more years. And I'm saying from 2014 to two more years, you think I'm happy? Usually it's 5 years. But what it was, since I came, since I had it again last year, then I had to make sure that I run through the whole process. Again, ladies, I say make sure that you check yourself. Something that you might see that's minor might not be minor at all. It might be the beginning. And that's the reason why so many women have not been diagnosed until they are at stage 2 or 3. But you also have to remember, breast cancer is not a death sentence. That does not mean that everyone with breast cancer will die, will not be able to make it and live a normal life. And to go with that, we have our sister on the line, Sister Irma Butler. Mm-hmm. She can tell her story.
And Miss Melinda is with us as well. So she is with us right now. So, Miss Irma, you are unmuted. So if you'd like to go ahead and tell your story, welcome to Let's Do It Radio with Miss Inez Says. Let's talk about it. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, so glad to be on here with you, Miss Inez. My name is
Irma
Butler, and hello to everyone else that's on the line. And thank God I am a 25-year survivor. So
Hold on right there. Hold on. We got to do that. We applaud for everybody else. We got to applaud for you too. Thank you.
And I am a two-time breast cancer survivor. I was first diagnosed in 1993. I didn't find that lump. I had actually had a mammogram, and it didn't show. And then that same year, my son was getting ready to graduate from college, and I was all excited. And I found the lump, and I said, "Oh, that's sore." It was in my right breast, and it was sore to touch. And I said, "Oh, I'm gonna have to check on that." But of course, not now. I got to go celebrate my son's graduation from college, so I did. And I didn't get it checked until August. And when I went in, I was probably in maybe stage two breast cancer. But then when I went to my doctor, he, you know how they do the little quick once over, and I said, no, I felt a lump in my breast. And so when he went back, he actually felt it too. So that's why you have to speak up, advocate for yourself, you know. For that, I had a needle biopsy, and then I was diagnosed, and I had a modified radical mastectomy, and I had chemo. And so that was in 95. And so in the next 2 years, I found another, the mammogram showed this one in my other breast. And so I had the same type surgery, the modified radical mastectomy. This time I had stronger chemo because they actually found cancer cells in my lymph nodes. You know, and back then when they found cancer cells in your lymph nodes, they just took out, you know, a lot of lymph nodes. And because of that, I am today having my legs wrapped for lymphedema. So we do have after effects from chemo, even after 25 years. But this was only maybe 5 or 6 years ago that I started having problems with lymphedema. But I survived the what they call azithromycin chemo during that time. And and my doctor told me, he was my surgeon, he said, "Ms. Butler, you did everything we asked you to do, and look at you, you still here. You're going to outlive me." I said, "Well, you know, I don't want you to die, but I hope so." So anyway, but it's just, and I encourage ladies, it's not easy. You're going to have some ups and downs, you know, when you have long hair and you comb your hair and it just comes out in your hand. So what do? You get it all cut off because it's coming out anyway with the chemo. I mean, that's why it's coming out. So there are some things you have to endure. I had the Gershon catheter, and I don't even know if they do it anymore because I ended up with infections after infections, and I ended up in the hospital a couple of times, and they couldn't figure out what was going on. But the minute they removed that catheter, I never had another infection. So, saying that was over 25 years ago, and it's so much better now, you know, with giving chemo and they give you steroids, you don't get sick, you know, throwing up from the time you take it until it's you know, almost time to go back. So thank God there are some advances. There are a lot of advances that have been made. And one thing we encourage is that you do the clinical trials, because it will help the next lady, you know.
Right.
So sometimes we say, well, it's not going to help me. No, but it'll help the next lady, because what happens is so many times black women don't do the clinical trials, so they don't have anything to base it on, you know, with us. So if you take part in a clinical trial, it will help someone else. So I'm just happy to be on this line to be able to share with other ladies and let you know that it may be hard. Thank God I didn't have to have radiation, but I had chemo twice.
Amen.
But I made it through, and I'm just so glad to be part of Sisters Network. My girlfriend, who has gone on to be with the Lord, we were sitting in the debate and talking about, we need to start us a support group. You know, we need to be there
right.
and help the next lady. And we found out that one had been started in Houston, and we were so glad to be a part of Sisters Network. So we could just, and it's just a matter of getting the word out to the next black lady. And my ministry now is breast cancer. You know, I don't want any woman to have to go through that journey by herself. So if there's anything I can do to help another sister through, I'm there. You know, I've gone from diagnosis to going to talk to the doctor about the surgery or this or that. So just being there for the next sister, so they don't have to take that journey by themselves. So thank you for letting me share my story. And I just hope somebody is encouraged, and that we can just keep on keeping on, keep on doing what we're doing to help our sisters. They don't tell you our breast cancer is more aggressive. So that's why we die quicker than the Asian women die, whatever. So that's why we got to get the word out there. And like you say, stop the silence, Deborah.
The silence. That is the motto. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. And we'll give you a hand clap. You know, that's what we do here. Okay. Miss Melinda Walker is here with us. Do you want her to speak about anything?
Absolutely.
Hello.
Please.
Yes.
Good evening, ladies.
Good evening.
Here's my sisters on the line. Yes, I have been on the whole time, but I was muted at first, and then I tried to say something, and then after that, everything that you needed to know, you've gotten the information from the other sisters, and I'm so happy. My name is Melinda Walker, and I am the president of the Austin Affiliate Capital. I am a 38-year survivor of breast cancer.
Okay, stop right there. Hold on.
My birthday, January 27th, I turned 30 that year. And on February the 14th, on Valentine's Day, I found my lump. And for whatever reason, I immediately called my doctor, and I went to the doctor. At that time, I had a 5-month-old daughter, and said that she was a lifesaver, or is a lifesaver, because of the fact I did carry her with breast cancer. And the way I discovered the lump is because of the fact that she would not breastfeed from that breast. She started receiving my light breast. So I was teaching at the time, and I was expressing my breast work. I was allowed to have time to express, and I had just stopped going and feeding her at lunchtime during my conference time. I would go to the babysitter and breastfeed her. So she was used to a bottle, but she wasn't used to the bottle with breast milk. I mean, without breast milk. She wasn't on formula at the time. So what happened that morning, we hit real hard and was going to try to make her just force it into her mouth. And that's when I felt the lump. And, of course, if I hadn't been one that, you know, thought that I was happy with the fact that I had larger breasts, because it was milk breast. But what has started happening is because that breast wasn't getting as much action, I had become sort of lopsided. So I had noticed that at work. So that was one of the things I thought, I got to pump this one more and I got to make her eat so both of them will look the same. My doctor, which was just a general doctor, and they felt a lump. It was between a nickel and a quarter round on the top of my breast. And so the doctor said, well, with your breastfeeding and with the fact that you said that she's not breastfeeding as much, it might be just milk in the milk duct that, you know, just hardened there. So let's wait 2 weeks and come back. So I went back to my regular doctor in 2 weeks. And it was still there. So she said, I really don't think you have anything to worry about, but I can refer you to a surgeon. So I went to the surgeon the 1st of March. Remember, there are only 28 days. I went on the 3rd, I believe it was. Yes, the 3rd or 4th. But anyway, I went to the doctor, and it was just a regular surgeon, and he said, well, you know, let me try to do the needle aspirate, and nothing came out. So he said that I can schedule you for for a biopsy, you know, in a couple of weeks, as soon as you would like to have one. And I said, well, I want to have it immediately, you know, because this is scaring me. But at times I wasn't afraid because I didn't even imagine breast cancer, you know, at 30 years old. So that Monday, I went in for the biopsy, which was an outpatient. But that Monday morning, I had it in the afternoon. I went in, and they gave me all of the instructions as to what would happen. They would have a sheet over my face and numb the area, but, you know, I would be awake. And they would take the specimen, go to the lab, which was next door, test it, and I would know that day whether or not, you know, I had anything to worry about. And the biopsy was supposed to be, you know, less than an hour. They weren't going to take the whole lump. They were just going to take part of the lump. So it ended up that I was there in what was considered to be surgery for a couple of hours. And then they said, well, we got it. And they passed it, you know, over to the next office. And I kept looking over there and I guess waiting for somebody to come out. But then I looked and I saw a man who peeked through, I guess, to see how I looked. And then I saw another person peek through and they were doing the stitches and all, and he said, oh, I'm having a little bit of problem here. You're bleeding a little bit more than I expected you to bleed, and that's why, you know, it's taking a little bit longer. So then he told me once they finished, we're not able to make a decision at this time or exact diagnosis at this time. So why don't you go back to your room, the little recovery room, and wait. So I waited there for about an hour, and then they came in and said, well, we want to do more testing on it. We want to send it to another lab, and that will probably take another day, so go home. And, you know, they said, if you have any bleeding or whatever, to come back and that kind of thing. So as soon as I walked in my door at home. Oh, he did give me some pain pills. We went to pick those up. But as soon as I walked in, the phone was ringing, and he told me that I had breast cancer. And I didn't, like, lose it or anything. I just started thinking, oh, I have a baby. Oh, what am I going to do? What does this mean? Because 38 years ago, you know, not that many people talked about it. I knew a couple of ladies who had had breast cancer in my hometown, but it was almost like it was pretty much of a secret, you know. So, you know, I started calling my family, and the first thing they were saying, well, you haven't had a mammogram. You need to have a mammogram, which not knowing or me not knowing or me not thinking that that type of biopsy was going to be more of a definite in terms of whether or not it was cancer than just looking at it, you know, in the body. They had actually taken something out. So that evening, you know, I just called everybody that I could think of, and people just started pouring in. It was also, at that time, it was going to be Mardi Gras. So I had some friends at Mardi Gras, and I don't know why, but I still called them, too, and told them, which, you know, when I think back, but I was just calling everybody and telling them, because it was almost like it wasn't real, and I didn't know, you know, what the next step was going to be. Well, they had said they would have me an appointment on Wednesday to talk about how what they were going to do. And but over in the night, about 10 or 11, I started bleeding excessively. So I went back to the hospital to call the surgeon, and so he said, well, you know, as soon as we can, we're going to need to go on and complete the surgery, because when you have cancer or cells like that, it's hard to stop the bleeding. And he said the best thing to do would be to go on and get the tumor out. I think that's what he said at that point. So I had the biopsy on a Monday. I went back in that night. Tuesday, I spent the day doing my pre-op, and that Wednesday, I had my surgery. And I had what is called a radical mastectomy. There was no oncologist involved, it was the surgeon. They checked 43 of my lymph nodes and did not find cancer in any of those. But as a result of those kind of things, you know, it makes you more likely to get infections easily, which, you know, I have had some infections, but I have been blessed that my cancer hasn't returned. I was cured with surgery only. I did not have anything else. The doctor that I had at that point was very concerned about the women with the lymphedema and the big arms and, you know, that kind of thing. That's what he said. He said, I don't want to do that to you because of the fact that you have you know, you don't, it's apparent he felt like that it hadn't spread. But, of course, that's the end. They weren't doing pretty much anything but mastectomies. I don't know. The other thing was I had heard that somebody had had reconstruction or whatever, but he told me that that would be something that I might qualify for, but that he wanted to wait 5 years. So the diagnosis I got is, you know, if you get through this, and it doesn't return in the next 5 years, that means we got it all. So, you know, my prayer each day was, I didn't pray like for 5 years at one time. I thought that would be greedy. You know, I prayed first of all for my daughter's first birthday, then maybe some other family event that I wanted to attend. And, of course, by the time 5 years came, it was almost, well, it was time for her to start real school, be in school, kindergarten. And I did not see a oncologist, which, again, just not knowing and not having anybody there to let you know what you were supposed to do, it was probably about 3 years into after I had had the surgery. But the first year, every 3 months, I had a mammogram. And, I mean, that was my first one. Then they went to 6 months. Then, I just do the once a year. But at the very beginning, they called them diagnostics, which I suppose that is a little bit more thorough. But now I'm just having the regular mammograms. But since those have gotten so much better, I still feel comfortable because it's just 3D times and that kind of thing. So as Sister Irma said, I mean, this is my mission now, to be there, or I think this is my purpose in life, is to be there and share my story or to be support to other ladies who, are faced with the same thing. And it really hurts my heart. I mean, I get even more nervous when I think about the younger women, because there are women younger than I am that I have encountered that have had breast cancer. But at that point, you know, I was one of the youngest, and especially, you know, for my doctor and the surgeon and stuff, he kept saying he didn't think it was that. And, of course, some of my family, you know, I know they mean well, but sometimes they'll say, girl, you've done so well. I think they misdiagnosed you. But I told them I don't look back and regret anything. If I didn't have it, that's fine, too. I would never be mad. I would never try to look back, because I went with my gut feeling. As like I said, my family was like, well, why don't you go do this? And why don't you go do that? Of course, insurance-wise and all, I didn't really know that much about going to get a second opinion or whatever. The only other thing they were saying, because they knew about MD Anderson in Houston, well, before you have surgery, I would go to MD Anderson. And I'm thinking, well, I'm bleeding and I need this to stop. You know, I don't want to wait and have to wait for weeks to get an appointment or anything. So I do feel like, you know, I did the right thing. So, you know, of course, immediately, but it was only a day or 2 days, you know, of course, I didn't breastfeed anymore. And, of course, she never took the med. I didn't even try to force it once I thought something was wrong. But I did stop the breastfeeding. And she was a healthy girl. I mean, it didn't. She had some problems adjusting to the formula so abruptly, but she got over it. And that was, I think, too, for me, that was one of the best times, because I really wanted to be there for my daughter. And what I mean by that, I still wanted to be able to care for her and all as well. But back then, just to give an idea, they wrapped your arm and put it down to your body. They wrapped gauze all the way around. I stayed in the hospital 3 days. I did have the tube. I think I only had one. No, I had. Of course, they didn't send me home with tubes, but yesterday a lady had her a double mastectomy with reconstruction, 12 hours of surgery, and they sent her home today. So there again, it's easier, I think, than what we used to call reach for recovery. That did take me a good to the fall of the year. And it was many years before I think that my arm, where I was able to get it all the way up. But, you know, as I was able to, and I went through therapy for that just to get my right arm working back correctly. But with the therapy, it would tingle and feel like rubber bands, because basically what they did is put that scar tissue and stuff under there. And then I had to learn how to use and raise the arm. But that took a while. But I wasn't complaining about anything. I was just happy to be alive. And I am
Amen.
Glad
Amen.
And happy to be here at this point to tell my story.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. That's the story. Hold on. Hold on.
Any questions?
Let me see. I'm going to unmute everybody, and from my side, so everybody else, until you're asked to speak. Please keep your line muted so we don't have a lot of background noise. I'm going to start with 1810. The last four is 1810. If you have anything you'd like to say, if you're just listening, that's Miss Alice.
Me. What I would like to do is to ask. At this time, that if Deborah is there, she will unmute because and introduce a couple of our sisters that are part of Sisters Network. They want to at this time want to give you a little bit more information about the Sisters Network.
Okay, I'm gonna go back and mute people because they just don't have to. Hold on. Let me mute this, everybody. Who would you like to? Okay.
Deborah.
Because I don't know who. Hold on a second. Hold on just a second because. Hold on just a second. I'm going to unmute her. I had to mute everybody because of all the noise. She is unmuted, so she's able to speak. Ms. Deborah?
Yes?
Well, I would like to turn it over to you so that for a few minutes so that if we have some other sisters on the line and some that want to tell us a little bit more information about Sisters Network Outreach. Sister Sharon, I think, is on the line.
Okay.
Okay. Do you know her? Do you know the last four of her number? Her telephone number?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to.
The last four.
Some people have. Mhm.
Okay.
Yes,
the last four. Her number is 3057.
I do not see her on the line.
Okay. Deborah?
Yes, I know that Ms. Kim Felice is one of our members. I do not know the last four digits of her phone number. Do you have that there, Sister Alice? And you could share that with Ms. Inez.
I have that. I do have her number, so I will unmute her.
Okay.
Ms. Kim.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Yes, I'm here. I am just so grateful to hear everybody's testimony. My name is Kimberly Solis. I'm out of Austin, and I am a two-time cancer survivor. I'm pretty a recent survivor. And I'm grateful because I had a lot of support throughout my journey. Mm-hmm. I was first diagnosed in 2019, and I have been receiving regular mammograms, and I had went to the doctor's office, and she examined me. But months later, I know she missed it, because months later I did discover that I had a lump under my right breast, and it was right before the pandemic, 2019. And I did have the biopsy done. I had three biopsies. I had a lot of questions, because it, the process, everything was just so, so overwhelming. But I knew who to call. I knew I could call Deborah, and she was just such a great support to navigate me through the process, because everything is so overwhelming, the terminology that they use. You know, it was just a journey that was overwhelming, but I'm thankful because I had such great support from my family, my husband, and my church family. Mm-hmm. I went through the chemo. I lost all of my hair, like the second treatment, but I wasn't worried about that. My concern was just to be better. I went through the radiation, and I'm thankful that I was able to go through the radiation. I didn't have any problems, and I continued to work. I would go on my radiation during my lunchtime. I went through the radiation. Mm-hmm. I did have to go. I had surgery. I had a lumpectomy, and they removed like 7 lymph nodes, but there was no cancer in my lymph nodes. So I went through all that, and even after the surgery, I developed what's called a frozen shoulder. I couldn't lift my arm, and I had to go to therapy for that. And it took about a year just to recover from over that. And I'm thankful for Sisters Network. I had got in touch with the president, and I'm grateful for the organization because last year I had a reoccurrence to my brain. I was diagnosed with stage 4 brain cancer. And I had a lot of questions, and the doctors were saying it came from my breast. And I had a lot of questions about that because I'm like, how can you say I have brain cancer and you haven't given me a biopsy for the brain cancer? But they said I had brain cancer stage 4, and to do surgery was too sensitive to conduct because it's such a sensitive area. So what ended up happening, I went through radiation, and they have a procedure called the Karma Knife. It's where it's like a laser beam that's real precise that targets that area. And so long story short, when I did take another MRI, I have no cancer, not in my brain, not in my breast, no evidence of the cancer. So I'm so grateful to God. I'm so encouraged. And if I can just encourage somebody, I will. And I'm thankful for the village, the people that I had to support me and encourage me along this journey. So thank you for the opportunity.
Amen. Thank you. Yes.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. We have about 15 callers on the line, so I'm just really so happy that we have, I'm about ready to tear up, that we have that many women on the line who are interested, who have stories, who are survivors, because, you know, listening to your stories, I want them to know they are not alone. You know, I've not had breast cancer, but I've had many friends who have had breast cancer, who have passed away from breast cancer. It is not cute. I have been 5-year, what do you want to call it, American Cancer Society co-chair for Relay for Life. And so I'm an advocate for I won't say advocate for cancer, but my father had stomach cancer. So cancer of any sort is the ugliest of uglies. And anybody who has cancer, who has survived, God has blessed you. I just give all honor to you for being able to tell your stories and let people know there is a chance to survive, but first you have got to get checked. Rub on your boobies. I don't care what you want to do. Check your breasts. Make sure you check them so that you know and know your body inside and out, because some people, they're afraid to check their bodies. And, you know, and as one of the facts that I see here is Black women fear a cancer diagnosis and often avoid, AVOID screening. If you avoid it, you're not going to know. If you know, knowing is half the battle. You can go in there and get sick and what have you, and then you have that opportunity to survive, and guess what? You get to tell your story. Some of the people had how many times? 2-3 times. And they're still here to tell their story. So you have got to not be afraid to get that diagnosis.
Amen.
You know, you've got to get it. I don't care if you go they only get it once a year, but shoot, even if it's between that once a year, you don't know what may happen. So go get regular mams. Go get those regular mams. Please, ladies, please. And this is black women, because we do have, I have itty bitties, so, you know, I could still get cancer, but I still have itty bitties. Men can get cancer. It doesn't matter. Men, check your chest.
Amen.
Women,
amen.
Check your chest. Everybody, get those checks, even colonoscopies. I don't care. If you have something out there to get checked regularly, because the only way to know is to find out. If you don't find out, you're going to say, well, I waited too long. I guess I'm just going to sit up here and just go to heaven. Not necessarily. You can still get checked. You still have that opportunity to stay alive and tell a story. So please, 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 please don't be afraid to get checked. Look at these women. They check themselves. They're here to tell the stories. They are survivors. They are here to push you, to be behind you, to say, sister, girlfriend, it's okay. You're not alone. You don't have to go through this alone. So I don't know if we have anybody else who has stories, but I mean, I'm just an advocate for, you know, getting checked of any type of cancer, prostate cancer, breast cancer, colon cancer, lung cancer, stomach cancer. I don't care. If you feel funny about your body, because you're the only one who knows your body, go get checked. And I'll tell you later about my father's story later on, anyway, so I don't know who else is out here. Do you want anybody else to talk about their stories, ladies, or what?
Ms. Inez?
Deborah.
Yes.
This
is Deborah.
Uh-huh.
And I'm wondering if it's okay if I ask if there are other sisters on the line, if they would text Sister Alice and let her know that they're on. And before I give my story, I would like, if you would give us permission to ask the sister who gave us the sweet prayer, if she would share her story if she wanted to.
Okay, that was, she hung up. So she hung up.
Oh,
earlier.
She's gone.
She's gone. Angel Shepherds was her name. Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry,
While that question is being asked, I have a question because I don't know. It says black women have 2.3 times higher odds of being diagnosed with triple negative breast cancer. Can anybody, you know what, I'm going to unmute everybody. And so I'm going to just go down the line. So if you are not muted yourself, go ahead. Go ahead.
Ms. Ines, before you do that, there's a possibility that our nurse, nurse advisor, Joyce Bass, may be on the line, and if she is,
okay,
if she could speak to that, and then there may be someone on the line who actually had it and can also speak to
that. Okay. Okay.
Joyce Bass number is 8366.
8366. I think I saw that number. 8366. She was on there, 214. She's out of Texas, isn't she?
Yeah,
she was
out
on
of
the
Dallas
line earlier. Mm-hmm.
But perhaps
I don't see her on the line right now.
Okay, so if we could, someone could text her back, that would be great. Cause she was, she's been a nurse for many years, and she was actually an oncologist nurse. I yield back to you, Ms. Inez.
Okay, not a problem. I appreciate you. So as I was saying, I'm going to unmute everybody, but if you can hear me, please mute your lines. And because of all the background noise and people talking and not really paying attention to what's going on, so I'm going to unmute everybody. And when I call the last four of your numbers, then you can unmute yourself. And if you have a story to tell, tell us the story. Or if you're just listening and want to, and are just trying to get more information, that's fine too. So we have quite a few people. I'm just really happy that we have so many people. The last four is 1992.
Yes. Hi. First of all, giving honor to God from whom all blessings flow. This is Mary Dawson from Little Rock, Arkansas.
Hi, how are you?
I'm fine, thank you. And Alice Fulton is my sister, and I'm so grateful for her. I had called her and asked her if she would be willing to put out this awareness about, you know, breast cancer. You know, and I want everybody, I want the world to know I truly love my sister. And I thank God for my sister, and I thank God for the organization that she's in, because it has really, really helped her. But I also want to say that Alice and myself, we had a brother with breast cancer. We had a brother that died of breast cancer. Okay? So breast cancer is just not for females. Males also get it. And I'm a witness. I've seen it firsthand.
Me too.
God has blessed me. I have not had breast cancer, but I thank God for the sister network that my sister is in, and you ladies keep on keeping on, because she is so happy. And whenever I talk to her, that's all. I'm kind of jealous because she talks about you guys more than she talks about me. But I thank God for you.
Okay. Amen. Amen.
And I also want to say I'd like to thank Reverend Ronnie Marshall for allowing, you know, the ladies to do this platform.
Amen.
I appreciate that. Yes.
Yes. Yes. Because he's the one who brought them to me. To talk about it. We were supposed to talk about it on yesterday, but it's like, we weren't ready. So tonight we got ourselves together and we're ready, and I put the word out. Everybody put the word out. So I just appreciate each and every one of you for calling in, who are still on the line, who are out there worldwide listening, because, hey, everybody has a story and everybody has a story. So that's going to be my book. But anyway. So with the last four of 3043, thank you, Miss Mary Dawson, for telling people out there that, yes, men do have breast cancer. So, yeah, men, you need to check. Like I said earlier, men need to check, too. We had a man in our church back home. He had breast cancer. So it just doesn't affect women, okay? It affects the itty-bitties to the greatest bitties, okay? So
right.
Yes.
My name is
Karen Powder, and I'm 3043.
Okay.
Can you hear
and
me?
My name is
My name is Karen Powder, and I'm with Sisters Network in Austin, Texas.
How are you? Welcome.
I am very pleased to be here. Hello to all of my sisters and all the beautiful ladies that are listening. I wanted to kind of give you information, a bit of my story, but more of the information with Sisters Network. I am the outreach person for my organization. As many of my sisters have said, knowing your body is the first and utmost thing to do. I am a 21-year breast cancer survivor. And I did
we're going to give you praise for that.
After thank you. I found my lump after I'd had a mammogram, and even when I went back and I talked to them, they did an ultrasound, and as the tech stood over, she said, "Sharon, I can't find it." And I looked up at her and I said, "If you don't mind, I could put your finger on it." And I did, and that started the journey.
Amen.
So
Amen.
As he later have said, this is a journey that makes you have a new outlook on life. And my look was to make sure that I told anyone and everyone that I came in touch with about knowing their body. So at the time, I was a school teacher, so I would have a group of students, and we would talk about knowing your body and being aware of your body. And like you said, I don't know why we're afraid to touch our bodies for knowledge, but we'll touch it for something else. But one of the things,
that's right.
In our, as we use our national creed, when we say in unity there is strength, I have found out from this network and working within the community and with other organizations that are cancer-based, we do have strength. We're able to go throughout the community and speak to and also pass out educational information for different groups and for men and women. And you're right. When we talk about cancer, it doesn't just have one name. Cancer has no respect of person, and it doesn't mind who it does. So when we pass by information, we have a rest shower card that says early detection. And the last couple of years, we've gotten cards that are for men that talks about men's health as well. So one side of our shower card is about women's health and early detection, and the other side of the card is about men's prostate and men's health. And so we pass these out at different organizations, different counselor events, or different times when we were asked to come out into the community. And with that strength, we become powerful because we are able to do what you're doing tonight. We're able to reach out across the dividing line of city, state, and be able to reach people to give them understanding and clarity about early detection. And with that power, we do make a change because we, as you tonight, are giving ladies an open view of what cancer is all about. And the most important part that I love is 21 years ago when I was told I had breast cancer, I had not seen a cancer survivor, I thought. And because of Sisters Network, we are able to stop the silence and to continue going out and talking to others, giving them the strength and the courage to be able to stand up and speak out and let everyone know that cancer is not a death sentence. Cancer is just an eye-opener to being a better person. Thank you, ladies.
Thank you, thank you, thank you for your story and for your comments. And next we have with the last four of 2616, if you'd like to greet us and tell us who you are and where you're calling from, please. The last four is 2616.
Oh, hi, my name is Cora Finley. I'm from Little Rock, Arkansas, and I'm here on behalf to support my friend, Miss Fulton, and I just got off the dialysis, and I just got a splitting headache, but I just wanted to let it. I just wanted to let Ms. Fulton know that I was thinking about her, and to God be the glory. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much for joining and for shouting out her victory and her with her survivorship. Thank you so much, Ms. Cora. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And next we have with the last four of 1568, introduce yourself, and if you have a story, please tell us the story and where you're calling from.
Okay, I'll call you before I leave town.
Okay, maybe not. That's okay. And next we have with the last four of 5662.
Okay. My name is Jamie Vines, and I'm in Little Rock. And I'm listening and calling in to support my sister, Alice Fulton. And I haven't had any problems with cancer, but my sister has been very informative, and she's really giving us knowledge on this.
It's just been
a blessing to see her through this, and whatever she can tell us, whenever she can tell us, she always does. And I'm very blessed to have her in my life, and I mean, the information is real and it's there, and she never stops spreading the news about cancer. It's always something that she gives the information every time anything that comes up, and I'm very grateful for that. That we know, you know, even as younger ones, you know what they need to expect, because we have to realize that it is something that is in our family, and that it doesn't need to be. We need to go as soon as possible. If anything is wrong, you know, we need to, because it's something that is in our family. And I just want to say I've enjoyed listening to all of the testimonies, and I just had my mammogram, and everything is fine, but I support my sister 100%.
Amen. Thank you. That's nice.
Thank you so much.
Because it's nice to have that support, you know, because even though you may not be going through and someone else is, they can look to you for that strength. And, you know, you just never know.
Yes,
and
ma'am.
And then after they survive, then you look to them for that strength, because you never know. It might happen to you. You know, it's just nice to know you have that quote unquote sister network, sisterhood, sister girlfriend, friend girl, whatever you want to call them. But they are survivors. They did not give up. And that's the best thing. They checked and checked and checked, and they kept on saying, something just ain't right here. Something just ain't right. I know my body. Don't tell me that there's nothing there. Come here. Like the lady said, she took her finger and, you know, dug it right there. Oh, okay, I guess you do. But the thing is, it's funny how, I'm just going to say this, because you know how they don't want us to survive. But we want us to survive. So you keep on and keep on and keep on. And somebody who maybe looks like you, listen. Because otherwise, a lot of times, the other people, I don't know who listened, who didn't listen, but if we didn't have this sister network to hear, listen, be there, there would be so many more, there would be a lot less of us on this earth. So I just applaud each and every one of you for, you know, fighting that good fight, fighting that fight and still hanging in there, not giving up, because you saw something in yourself that says, I'm not a quitter. I have someone who loves me. I have me who loves me, who wants me to be here, and so I can be here for someone else. So I talk a lot, but anyway, I just try to, you know, lift people up. But that's just, you know, maybe I should become part of the sister network, even though I'm not have cancer, but I mean, I'm a great inspiration, a great inspirer. So, you know, I just am so happy to be able to be here as a outlet for you, and you all are more than welcome to, if you have to come on once a month, I don't care, once a quarter, I don't care. I am here to say, hey, Miss Inez, we got some more stuff. Can we talk? Yes, we can. And Miss Inez says, let's talk about it. Breast cancer awareness. It doesn't have to be just in October. It should be every day, every week, every month, every second. Be aware of your mammy. And you know what I'm talking about. Be aware of your mammies. So thank you so much for speaking out and being a support, Miss Jamie. The next person we have
You're
out
welcome.
Here, thank you, is 0885. if you want to tell us who you are and where you're calling from, please.
I'm Carolyn Hampton, calling from Little Rock, Arkansas.
How you doing?
I'm doing good. I'm a friend of Mary Williams.
Okay.
From Little Rock, and I think she's Sister Alice. And she invited me to listen on today, and I'm so glad I did. I was diagnosed with breast cancer July 20th after I had had a mammogram. And mine didn't even have a lump. Mine was so small, it was only detected on my mammogram. I had less than an inch of cancer inside of me. They did a biopsy on July 26th. On August 17th, I had a lumpectomy by Dr. Henry Tillman of UAMS. And I am currently going through chemo. My first chemo was September the 20th. And then I had my second one on 10/12. And in the process of that now, my hair has come all the way out. And I have my third round of chemo on November 1st. And I have my last one on November 22nd. And sometime in January, I will start my radiation. I have to do a month of radiation, 4 weeks of radiation. I teach school. I have really missed my kids. And chemo has kind of kicked my bottom a little. It hasn't been real hard on me. It was easier for me to adapt to it, I think, because my sister went through it about 10, 11 years ago. And so I went to every treatment she had. I went to every appointment she had because she was my older sister, which was like my earthly mom here now because my mom has passed on. But chemo hasn't been that bad. I've had a lot of support from friends, family, my pastor, and the first lady. So it hasn't been a hard journey. And some of the doctors, like, can't believe that I've had as easy with as I have. But I know who my healer is. I know who
Amen.
I serve. I serve a God.
Yes.
He's all,
yes.
knows all. And as
yes.
long as my will lined up with his will, I'm going to be okay. Because easy way it goes, I said, Lord, I don't want to go to hell. I said, but Lord, you want to take me now and give me my definite seat in heaven? I'll go. I'll go by myself. But God has seen me here and let me weather the storm thus far. And I intend to, in January, when I finish my radiation, to ring the bell and be cancer-free.
Amen. I'm going to just give you this to you right now. This is your bell. That is your
Thank
early
you
morning,
so
sister.
Much.
That's going to let you know that you will be ringing that bell in January, you know.
Yes,
and
ma'am.
I just appreciate your story. I thank you. I just appreciate, like I said, everybody calling in, because you didn't have to call in and, you know, stand up and tell your stories. But we appreciate the stories that we've heard, because each story is the same, but yet it's different.
Yes.
Correct?
I echo the mammogram.
Yes. You know, get that self-check. Do that. We used to have the picture where we'd be in the, that we get during our mammograms. It'd be a picture of a woman, you know, checking her breasts in the shower.
Yes.
You know, I don't know if they still do that or not, you know, but check it, you know, check it. I don't care if you check every day. I said every day. Not every day, but every day. Because what you don't have one day, you can have the next day or the next day or the next day. So check, you know, I know it sounds funny, but play with yourself. Play with the mammograms, because you're the only one who's going to be able to tell someone else, this don't feel right. You know, I didn't feel this yesterday, but I feel something today. It could be a pea size. It could be the size of a little rock, but still, you found it. You found it. So that is your early detection to go get checked. The earlier, the better. Yes, ladies?
Yes.
Stop the silence. I'm going to say, y'all, stop the silence. Don't be silent. Be loud. be boisterous. Just don't be quiet about breast cancer. Make everybody aware. Yes? Do I have a yes from everybody? I know you can't hear me, but yes from everybody.
Yes.
Because I want y'all to be here when, you know, because it may happen to me. And I say, yo, remember that show we had October the 27th of 2022? Well, guess what? I'm now in that group, you know, and I'm going to get checked. And I may have to be in the Sisters Network, just, you know, say, hey, ladies. I need you. I need you. I need you. So I just really appreciate you telling your story and just being there. And I'm going to give you this ring, like I said early, for January. So you're going to be doing that there. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And now we have the last four is 6389. You want to tell us who you are and where you're calling from, please? And if you have a story.
Yes. Good evening. My name is Odessa Long, and I'm calling from Atlanta. Hi. I'm good, thank you. I don't have cancer, but I was invited to listen in by my dear friend, Mary Williams. She called me and she told me that her sister Alice would be speaking tonight. And so I had to make sure that I heard that. So I called a friend of mine here in Atlanta and invited her to listen in. So she got diagnosed with cancer a few months ago. But she's doing really well now. So I'm not sure that she's still on the phone, because I had called her on the three-way, but I did text her the number in case we got disconnected. So, but anyway, I have thoroughly enjoyed it, and I thank Mary so much for telling me about it. And I just pray that all the survivors or anybody that may even get it later just do well. And I thank God for your organization. It seems like it's a wonderful thing you got going on there, helping people.
Yes, yes, yes. Thank you, thank you, thank you, baby.
Truly
thank you
so pleasure.
Much, Miss Odessa.
Yeah, you're very welcome.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Thank you, thank you, thank you so much for calling in. And I'm glad, like I say, share this information. And I'm going to tell you all, you can always listen again and again and again by going to www.blogtalkradio.com/Let's Do It Radio, and you can peruse all of the episodes of whatever I have done and whatever was gone up through the years, Bible study, relationship, Sunday service. I mean, the communion, we have Sunday service every Sunday. So, you know, if you need a little bit of church, CHUCH, y'all more than welcome to join us even on Sunday services as well. So I just appreciate each and every one of you for joining us. And I'm going to let Ms. Fulton or Ms. Deborah speak if they have anything else they want to say.
Okay, this is Deborah.
I have something.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Who's going next? Is it Melinda Walker? Can y'all hear me?
Yes.
Yes, uh-huh. Whoever wants to go, that's fine. There's a delay, so I don't like to say anything because there's a delay when one person speaks and then another one speaks. So Miss Melinda Walker is unmuted. Miss Alice Fulton is unmuted. Miss, let me see who else. Irma Butler is unmuted, and Ms. Deborah Duncan is unmuted. So I didn't know if anyone of you wants to say anything.
I was just going to say, again, I'm Melinda Walker, and on behalf of our national president, can you hear me?
Yes, we can. Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. I just wanted our national president, Karen Jackson, is four-time breast cancer survivor. So I think that again, that should be noted that, you know, again, we don't know how many times, I mean, it could happen. But with her being in Houston, and we think of Houston as the cancer center, one of the things that resonates with me is what she told me is that all four of her cancers, she has found herself. So we know that she has good doctor care, you know, she's there, but that the fact that she has found all of her cancers herself, there again, talks about that being sure that you are in touch with your own body, because you know your body better than any doctor. So, again, I just wanted to restate that. And another thing, not being a doctor or not knowing a lot, I just wanted to let the listeners know there is a cancer that two people that I have met in the last year are suffering from, and it is called inflammation breast. The breast explains there are no lumps, nothing to feel, but just some redness in the breast, like a mosquito bite or anything like that. Do not let that go unattended, you know, because one of them said she just thought it was a mosquito bite, and she kept scratching it, and the infection, you know, like the redness got bigger and bigger.
Right.
And she's just now getting ready to start her treatment. I don't know, but it's really, I mean, all I know is that she has been told by her oncologist it's more of a skin type of breast cancer. So there again, like I said, I'm not a doctor to give it the name, and I'm only going from, you know, what they have said. But two people, so they have no lumps or anything like that, but it's just an inflamed breast. But it is a form of breast cancer.
Thank you. That's interesting. That's interesting.
Yes, we need to know that.
Okay, Ms. Melinda, question. Say, for instance, because I'm looking at where the different affiliates are, and it seems like there's nothing in the Northwest I don't see anything in the Northwest. I'm going to briefly say what, let me see, I might be lying. Nope, I don't see any in the Northwest.
No, there is not anything like California, no, in that area.
I'm talking about Washington State, right. But so if somebody wanted to start an affiliate chapter, they would call the national, correct?
Yes, they would call the national office, and they will help them, you know, go through the process, come up and do some of the work, you know, with maybe even other organizations up there. So Sisters Network does work with some other organizations, and but that are not called Sisters Network. But I don't know. Mm-hmm. I know California. I'm not aware that there is one in California. But there was a group that I met at one of our walks that was from California, and it was an African-American group, but their name was not Sisters Network.
Okay. Because the farthest west that I see is Phoenix that I see. So I'm going to give out the different affiliates, you know, so if somebody is, you know, needs to connect with the Sisters Network, they can, you know, connect with that affiliate. The headquarters, as we had said earlier, is in Houston, Texas. Then we have Alabama, Montgomery, Alabama, Phoenix, Arizona. We even have one in Northeast Florida. We have one in Orlando, Florida, and Tampa Bay, Florida. That's where I am. We have one in Southwest Georgia. We have one in Chicago,
but not
Illinois.
The Atlanta area. Not the Atlanta area.
No, you're fine.
But because I talked to somebody who wanted to see about getting something in Atlanta. in the Atlanta area.
Okay. Illinois, Chicago, Illinois. It says the greater metropolitan Detroit in Michigan. Then they have River Rouge. I think that's also in Michigan. We have Essex County in New Jersey. I don't know if I'm going to say this right, but Passaic and Virgin in New Jersey as well. We have New York City, New York. We have Greensboro, North Carolina. Triangle, North Carolina. We have Reading, Pennsylvania. We have Memphis, Tennessee. And we have Nashville, Tennessee. We have Austin, Texas. Yay, Miss Melinda Walker.
Yay.
We have Dallas, Texas. We have Central Virginia. We have Southeastern Virginia. And we have Southeastern Wisconsin. Those are the affiliates that I see on the Sisters Network, sistersnetworkinc.org. So that is where you can get a lot of your information as far as getting involved or maybe opening up an organization in your city, in your area, so that, hey, this can be statewide, you know. And since Miss Melinda is on the line, maybe, I don't know if you can talk about that or want to talk to that, Austin, so that's, go ahead.
Yeah, I want to encourage any person, anybody who's going through breast cancer, whether they're part of Sisters Network, they can sign up and be, they can go to Sisters Network and they can sign up and they can start receiving all the information and get invited to the informational podcast. You know, things that we...
Okay, great.
Once a month we have like this. I don't know if that's the right term for it, but anyway, that's one of the things. And what they do is they focus on, you know, that you know ahead of time what it's going to be about. If it's going to be about, you know, a type of breast cancer or any kind of doctors or nurses who are expertise in a certain type, they come on and those kinds of things. And then there are things like there was a big national one that was held last year that you can sign on. It was an all-day event, and you can sign up, and they will send that to you so you can view that. So our national website would be a good reference, you know, to find out. And as I said, in some cases, they don't have a sisters network, but they have people in the area that they can help you to, you know, be in contact with. So that's for Sisters Network. But this weekend, I'm not sure, I don't think I heard it said, but they had something this year. There wasn't a national meeting, but it was called like a five-city tour, and it's in Dallas on Saturday morning. There is just going to be a conference on Saturday morning. So I suspect, I don't know, but normally for Dallas, it would be some of the cities nearby that have networks like the Louisiana area. And, of course, we have a group of ladies that are we're going to go to Dallas and be a part of their five-city conference. It's just a morning workshop with more information.
And can I talk more about that? Oh, I'm sorry.
Yes.
Because the reason why I'm asking is because I'm on the when I have these broadcasts, podcasts, you know, when I do these things on Blog Talk Radio, I try to have as much information, and I'm looking at the information as we are talking, so I can, you know, talk about it, the upcoming events, because that was one of my things that I was going to ask. You have upcoming events, and this is a Pink Power Tour, and it's it says, it's, as a matter of fact, it says triple negative breast cancer talk with my sisters. So it's all Pink Power events are free and open to the public. And that is Saturday, October 29th, and this is in Dallas, Texas. And this is at 10 a.m. to 12 a.m., and that is Central Standard Time, I'm sure. And this is at 7050 North Stemmons Freeway in Dallas, Texas. And so it asks you to send an email to RSVP so you can go to the Sisters Network, Inc.org to get more information. But I wanted to let you know about that. And Miss Karen E. Jackson is looks like one of the sisters that is speaking. And Carrie Quinn, who's a doctor. And we have Robin Scrine, who's a doctor. And Karen D. Wood Middleton. She's a triple negative breast cancer survivor. Also upcoming in Detroit, Michigan, on Saturday, November the 5th, and same time, 10 to 12, at the Hilton Garden Inn, and that's in Detroit, Michigan, at 351, don't ask me to say this, D-R-A-T-I-O-T Avenue in Detroit. And again, you can go to the Sisters Network, Inc.org. And for more information, and these lovely ladies that I'm looking at will be there. And Fidelia White, she's a triple negative breast cancer survivor. She's going to be there. Also on, let's see, Saturday, November the 12th, so the next few weeks, they're having these tour. It's Milwaukee, Wisconsin, and the time again is 10 to 12. And this is at Four Points by Sheraton in Milwaukee Airport, and that's at 5311 Howell Avenue in Milwaukee. So these people who live in these areas are probably familiar with all this. So, again, and then who do we have as a triple? We don't have a triple, but we have a Dr. Alonzo P. Walker who will be speaking. He's Emeritus Professor of Surgery, Division of Surgical Oncology. So he will be highlighted. So, I mean, you guys, you are not alone out there. There are a myriad of opportunities and places to go. But start with the Sisters Network, Inc., and they could probably direct you to someone in your area if you don't know where to go, or they can help you even. And I'm going to give out a telephone number. You know, like I said, you can always go back and listen or just go to the Sisters Network, Inc.org. I'm just going to keep it in your, so you can be ingrained in your brain so that you know, oh, what was that again? Sisters Network, Inc.org. And the telephone number is 866-781-1808. If you're writing it down, again, it's 866-781-1808. So it's just, I'm just so happy and just overjoyed by all the sisters who joined us this evening. It's just been wonderful. Like I said, we had, I don't even know now, it's quite a few, probably about maybe almost 20 women who have joined us. And I'm going to, let me see if he's still with us. Reverend Ron, he's out there. He's the one who kind of leading me to Miss Alice. So, Reverend Ron, would you like to say anything to these lovely ladies today? Reverend Ron? Okay, I've got him on mute, so if he comes and onto the line, he can speak. But
Ms. Inez,
yes, ma'am.
This is Deborah. So before you go, and if he comes on, I will yield to him. But I wanted to address the triple negative breast cancer for you.
Oh, okay.
You
thank
asked
you
a question about that earlier. Yes. So before we go, someone may be concerned about that. And so what I knew about it was quite accurate as to what I went ahead and pulled it up to verify. But triple negative breast cancer, I knew that it was very common among younger black women. And as the information states, that triple negative breast cancer accounts for about 10 to 15% of all breast cancers. and that the term triple negative breast cancer refers to the fact that cancer cells don't have estrogen or progesterone receptors. It's called ER, which is the estrogen receptor or receptor, or PR, which is progesterone receptors, and also don't make any or too much of the protein called HER2, HER2. So the cells test negative on all three tests. And these cancers tend to be more common in younger, in women younger than age 40, who are black and who have been who have a BRCA1 mutation. So some people have heard of BRCA1 or a BRCA2 mutation. I happen to be a BRCA1 mutation. And the different triple negative breast cancer differs from other types of invasive breast cancer, and that it tends to grow and spread faster, has fewer treatment options, and tends to have worse prognosis or outcomes. And the signs and symptoms of triple negative breast cancer are they can have the same signs and symptoms as some of the other common types of breast cancer. And triple negative is diagnosed. The diagnosis is made using an imaging test and a biopsy, and the cancer cells will be checked for the certain proteins if the cells do not have estrogen or progesterone receptors and also do not make any of those two proteins that I mentioned, as well as HER2 protein, and the cancer is considered to be a triple negative. The survival rate is very low. Triple-negative breast cancer is considered an aggressive cancer because it grows quickly. It is more likely to have spread at the time it is found, and is more likely to come back after treatment than any other type of breast cancer. The outlook is generally not as good as it is in other types of breast cancer. Survival rates can give you an idea of what percentages of people with the same type of stage of cancer are still alive as a certain amount of time. It's usually 5 years after they are diagnosed. They can't tell you how long you will live, but they can help you to get a better understanding of how likely you may the treatment may be successful or not. You have to keep in mind that survival rates are estimated and are often based on previous outcomes of large numbers of people who've had a specific cancer, but they can't predict what will happen in a particular person's case. These statistics can be confusing and may lead you to have more questions. So we always want to advise people to talk to their doctor and get better information. I was actually BRCA1, and I was diagnosed when I was 40. And my older sister was diagnosed 14 weeks prior to my diagnosis, and my middle sister was diagnosed 16 weeks after me. So I don't know if we have additional time for me to speak to my story. So, you know, I don't want to take up any more time. So I did want to speak to that. And we didn't know a lot about.
Look, your time, we still have an hour and 12 minutes. If you want to take an hour and 12 minutes and talk about it, this is your time. We need to get this information out. I don't care if nobody stays online but you, me, and he. But we're going to talk about this. So you still have an hour and 10 minutes. So speak until your heart is content, until your mouth dries up or something falls off. But you are welcome to go ahead and talk.
Thank you very much. I will continue. As I mentioned that my three sisters were diagnosed, thank you for giving me the gift of time here. My sisters and I were all diagnosed. The three of us were diagnosed in a nine-month period. Uh-huh. And both of my sisters are nurses. And so I was helping to take care of my older sister, going back and forth to San Antonio to help her with her chemo treatments and to relieve my other sister. And I had come home from being in San Antonio, and I decided when I got in the house that day, I needed to go do a defensive driving class, and because I got a ticket coming back from San Antonio.
Oh, Lord.
Being about my sister. And I was trying to make it back to a meeting in Austin, and so I just said, you know, I just can't do this. So I came home, and I just did my normal routine, checking the mail, et cetera. And so I went to the bathroom, and when I was sitting there, I said, well, let me just check my breast. And I found this lump. And I'm like,
oh my goodness,
this just can't be because I had a mammogram 6 weeks prior, and I'm thinking about my sister who had just been diagnosed, you know, not even 14 weeks. So So I when I was sitting up, the lump felt like the size of a top on a soda bottle. So I said, let me, and it was just hard, and it was hard and solid. So I said, well, let me go lie down, because when you lie down, you feel it better. So when I went to go lie down, it felt like a golf ball. So,
oh, my goodness, okay.
My late husband had come home prior to that, prior to me going to the bedroom, and he said, hi, honey, and I said, hey. He said, what you doing? I said, oh, I'm just in the bathroom. So he went to the other bathroom. When I got out, I went to the bedroom, and I laid down. So I said, oh, my goodness, because we had only been married 10 and a half months. And so I went in the bedroom, and I checked it, and I was just alarmed at how large it was and how hard it was. And it was deep in my tissue. It was just deep in there. So when he came in the room, he looked at me, and he said, why are you looking like that? And I said, well, can you feel my breast and tell me what you feel? I said, I feel a lump. What do you feel? I said, I feel a lump, too. So he said, well, let's call the doctor. So we called the doctor's office, and it's, the recording came on and said, you have reached blah, 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 blah. This office is closed, and this phone does not take messages. Please call back tomorrow morning. So that was like the longest night of my life. Me and my husband, we were just up all night waiting until we could call in. So when I called in, the nurse, the person who answered the phone, she said, well, what's your name? And I told her, and she said, well, you were just here. She said, what did you say is wrong? And I said, well, I found a lump in my breast. Can you, I need to speak to the doctor. She said, he'll be in about 30 minutes. So if you can call back in 30 minutes, she said, hold on, let me go and get your file. So she went, she came back, she said, well, I can't find your file. Just give me a few more minutes. She says, oh, my goodness, it hasn't even been put back up yet. And call back in 30 minutes. So I called back in 30 minutes. The doctor was there. He said, come in right away. He sent me directly across the driveway to the radiologist. So when I walked in the door, the lady looked at me strangely and said, why are you back? Did you bring somebody with you? And I said, no, I'm bringing myself. So I went in, and she monitored everything. And she said, well, she said, I'll be right back. And I, like I said, it had been just 6 weeks. So she came back out, and when she came back in, she said, well, the radiologist wanted me to do it over. So they did it over, and she left again, and she said she'd be back. The second time, she was gone about 45 minutes. So when she came back, I mean, I already knew what was going on. I mean, I just felt like, you know, I already know. So when she came back and she did it again, she turned. I could see it. I could see what it looked like and everything. Wow. So she turned the monitor away from me. And so she said, I'll be right back. So she left again, and she came back, and she said, we need you to put on your clothes, and I need you to come down the hallway. So she took me to another area, and then she took me to another room. And then the radiologist came in and said, we see some suspicious changes, and we need you to get these x-rays back to your doctor. So when I got back to the doctor's office, my husband was there. And so they looked at it, and so he immediately said, you need to get in someplace, because he gave me, you know, directions where to go. And the reason why they couldn't find a lump on the mammogram, and mammograms do not pick up 10% of lumps. It just doesn't. That's why now they tell women to get a 3D mammogram if you can, because it's a 360. And see, it just turns you around, and it sees everything from every angle. But when I was going through, they didn't have 3D at that time. So I went to like five different doctors, and my advice to anyone, instead of going to all your doctors here and there and everywhere, one of our sisters gave her testimony the other night, and she suggested that get all your doctors in one room at one time so you can talk to the surgeon. The plastic surgeon, the oncologist, the gynecologist, everybody you need to see. You can ask those questions at one time. So you, and you don't get contradicted information. So anyway, they couldn't see the lump because it was hiding behind my nipple. That's why they could never find it. So I found the lump myself on the 8th of August. On the 14th of August, I went in for a biopsy. On the 16th of August, I was told that I had ductal carcinoma of the left breast, and on the 25th, I had surgery, and I had a modified radical mastectomy. They scraped the chest wall, and the cancer was so aggressive, it would go twice the size in 100 days. At that time, they hadn't diagnosed triple negative breast cancer, which I believe I had because I'm BRCA1 positive for the gene. So I'll just say that when you see something, you feel something, you think something, you got to get it checked, because sometimes it may be a flaky breast, it may be red, it may be swollen, and like the inflammatory breast cancer that Melinda was just speaking of, that tends to be,
right.
You usually have swelling in your breast, and your breast feels hot because it's inflamed. And we know that inflammation is fever. You know, that's fever, so it usually feels hot.
Right, that's correct. Mm-hmm.
And so with me, I had to have some radical surgeries, and then 12 years later I went back to test, and that's when I learned that I was BRCA1 positive, although I had been putting it off to get tested. And once I got tested, they told me I was going to have to go back and have my ovaries removed. And when I went back to talk about discussing that possibility, because the ovaries are connected to your reproductive system, that's all part of your breast and your mammillary gland, all of that. So they told me I was going to have to have an oophorectomy. So we talked to the doctor again, and I went to see my gynecologist, because I also felt I had a lot of pain in my left side of my pelvis. And so when we went in, she said, well, you know, we're going to be removing your ovaries. And I need you to come back in a week, and we'll check and see what's going on. So when I went back in a week, she was checking me, she examined me, and she couldn't feel anything. She said, we're going to take you to another room. So they took me to another room and got a wand that looks like the Darth Vader Star Wars, where they can, it's an ultraviolet light, like a neon light with a long wand. So they inserted that so that she could see a microscopic process that she could find it.
Okay.
And when she finally found my ovary, my intestines was lying on top of it. That's why she couldn't see it. And she came back and she said, well, I want you to know we did find it, but I saw something else while I was there. She said, I also found fluid in your uterus, and we don't know where it's coming from. And I said, well, let's just do a total hysterectomy, because I don't want to come back in here. Let's just do it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So she let me go, and I had to go back to my oncologist. So when I got back to my oncologist, my husband was sitting there across from me. We were planning on an oophorectomy to just do the ovaries removed. Oh. And the oncologist was talking to me, and he says, well, I have one more thing to say. And I said, well, what is that? He said, well, we're going to have to take your other breast too. So my husband started crying. And I just said, you know, okay, well, when are we going to do it? So the first time I had to have the modified radical mastectomy with my chest wall scraped, and I had chemotherapy, and I had reconstructive surgery all at the same time. So when I went home, I had 3 drains, a Gloshon, and 250 stitches. So we went through that, and then 13 years later, when I had to go back, because I was BRCA gene positive, and they told me that I was just a walking time bomb, they didn't know how I made it that long. I said, I know a man. I know God, and I know he's been watching over me, and I know he's touched my body, because I wouldn't be here. So he said, well, you know that it's aggressive. It's when they tested me and all of my relatives on the gene pool, I was 112% positive for reoccurrences, because that's how high the cancer was in my genetic pool for hereditary, and only 5% of breast cancer is hereditary. So when we went back in, they told me that I was going to have to have the other breast surgery done. So we went back in, and they did another modified radical mastectomy and reconstructive surgery on that breast same day. So I'm here to say that not only am I still alive, but so are my 2 sisters.
Yes.
And we're all advocating and helping others to get on the other side of what's happening. And I, I remember, I think it was Melinda talking about her skin. Your skin, my skin mm-hmm. changed. It just felt like leather for probably 12 years before my skin started feeling normal.
Normal.
Again,
uh-huh.
in those areas. So I'll just stop right there and just know that, as it's already been mentioned, that all sickness isn't death, even with the reoccurrences that many of the women have had. Trial studies are very mm-hmm. important. I did participate in the trial study because when I was diagnosed, they had little to no information around black women with breast cancer. And to this day, I really believe I had triple negative breast cancer, but the research hadn't diagnosed it yet. But I, when I look back mm-hmm. on it, I had all of the signs and symptoms of what it states that it is.
The triple.
So just for mm-hmm. I don't know if you were going to mention the American Cancer Society as a resource or any resources before we go off, but the American Cancer Society does have a 1-800 number, and it's a 24-hour resource where you can call in. They have a hotline where you can call in and ask any kind of questions, and they will direct you to where you need to go.
Mm-hmm.
If you're so upset and can't think, call 311. 311 is a national information center. You can call 311 and ask them for anything, and you can be directed to that. So thank you.
I love it. I love it. Love it, love it, love it. Oh, I'm just, you know, it's just, that was a good job.
Oh, just one other thing, Ms. Inez, sugar. We talk a lot about mm-hmm. salt. Sugar is very dangerous.
Sugar is high. It is very high. Very, very high. And as I was going to say, because my father had stomach cancer, he loved his sweets. And he was in the service. And this is his story through me. And he used to have this pain in his back, you know, and for almost 2 years or so, he was having this pain in his back. So he'd go to the VA and it's like, you know, they don't do anything for anybody. So, you know, Mr. Brown, okay, you go to physical therapy. Okay, physical therapy didn't do anything. So then he started getting these shots in his back. Okay, and it'd get shots more often. It used to be every once a year, I think. Then it went to 6 months and it went, you know, more and more and more frequent. Then he was supposed to go and have his back operated on. And so I was like, something's just not right. And so me being here in Tampa, I went to this place called the Bio Spine. And they said, well, we really can't do anything because we need to have his MRIs and CAT, you know, scans and so on and so forth. So I had my brother who was kind of watching over him, taking care of him, you know. I said, well, can you send me all of this information so I can send it to the bio screen? Well, by that time, he had taken him to the Seattle, I think it was Seattle Hospital. I can't remember which one. And they were going to have to open up his whole back and do the surgery. It's like, not happening. Well, he was 88 anyway. So they said, no, they couldn't do the surgery because the anesthesia would probably kill him. So come to find out, I'm sure that pain that he had in his back was the start of stomach cancer. And he loved, like mm-hmm. I said, his sweets. So if you all have something starting, anything, any pain, go check with oncology. Please, please, please have an oncologist check you out because you never know where cancer can start. I have this, this lump in my arm. I don't know what it is. You know, like I said, fear of going and having it checked out. You know, maybe I will go have it checked out. Maybe it's just, you know, a muscle that I don't know. But, you know, please, please, ladies, men, whoever, go and have your pains checked out. Go and study your body. Please, 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 as you have heard from these lovely survivors, these lovely women who are going through and still going through and have just found out that they had it and hopefully will ring, no, not hopefully, we'll have a bell rung in January. They have stories. Listen to their stories. Please be a survivor. Please check out your bodies. If you have to have someone else check your body out, have them check it 4, 5, 6, 11 times. I don't care. Yes, I said I don't care. please have them check you out because you don't know. You heard the story. 1 week, as I said earlier, you didn't have it. Next week, you have it. Aggressive. You don't know that it's aggressive until you get checked. So we are, if we have to have a meeting once a quarter, we are going to have a Sisters Network meeting once a quarter. So you all will know and hear these stories so it will be ingrained in your mind. Please, we want you to live. We don't want you to be in pain and not go get checked out. So I know that, see, I think on the main website, I think you can do donations as well so that, you know, for those people who cannot afford, you know, mammograms. Let me see. I got to go back up here and find out where it says. But you could do a donation so that those less fortunate that can afford the mammograms can get mammograms, I won't say for free. I guess what you would say, pay it forward mammograms is what I'm going to call it. So let me see under donations. Hold on a second. I'm under the Sisters Network, Inc.org, for donations. So I'll donate. Let me see. Let me read this because I didn't read it earlier. Donate to support our programs. You can go there and donate. You can start at just anything. I'm not even going to say. It says it gives suggested donations, but whatever you have is better than nothing. So please, 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 ladies, men, everybody, check yourself before you wreck yourself. If that's not a motto, it should be. Stop the silence. Don't be afraid. Go get checked. Fear is, there's nothing to fear but fear itself. Once you find out if you have cancer, that's knowing is half the battle. Correct me if I'm wrong, ladies. You can all say yes, no, maybe so. Yes, no, I just appreciate it. Yes. Go ahead.
Well, Ms. Ernest, can we mention that we need...
I'm sorry.
We, yes.
One of
yes,
the things that
we...
One of the things that
it's
I
all on,
do
it's all,
want...
It's all on you. Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Okay. One of the things that I did want to say is, first of all, I thank all of my family and friends that's on here to support me and all the sisters, all my sisters network. One of the things that I want to say that is so important, and we learn it when we, it's one of the, we talk about it in Relay for Life. When you were saying that about the members of Sisters Network aren't just survivors. We also have caregivers that's there. We have supporters that's there. They join. Say, for instance, if you have a family member, if you have a friend that wants to be a part of the organization just to support, then that's always, our arms are always open to that. Our caregivers, when you're a caregiver for a person with cancer, a caregiver could be someone maybe just a good listener. Sometimes we need listening, someone to listen to us. Our caregiver could be someone to support us, to go to some of our appointments with you. We don't want them to walk alone, as Irma had said earlier.
Right.
You always have a friend. All you have to do is reach out, and you always have a friend that wants to go with you. We'll sit you through chemo with you. We'll sit through at the radiation office with you. We'll take you back and forth. But what it is that this journey is not a journey to be alone, and caregivers are always the ones that have their arms open, no matter whether we're crying, no matter whether we're sick, no matter whether we can't get around. I thank God for my family, my children. They made sure that I got back and forth to where I needed, and it made me do the things that I didn't even want to do, but I did. And thank God for it because it gave me more energy. It gave me more energy. And one of the things that right now, Sisters Network in Austin is on Zoom. we're on Zoom. We're not meeting in person. So if you would like to be invited to the Zoom, if you have Facebook, we are in Facebook as Sisters Network Inc. ATX. The Sisters Network Inc. ATX. You can, if you would leave in a message, you know, I'd like more information. I would like to, you know, I just need to talk to somebody. You can put something in the comment and we'll check it and we will get back with you so that you, if you have any questions, if we don't know the answer, we'll find the answer for it. So I'm going to give it back to Deborah so she can wrap the sisters network up.
Okay. Thank you, Sister Allison. You, I was about to ask, and you did exactly what I was about to ask, Sister Inez, if you could share our information for the Austin chapter, and by you directing people to our Facebook page, they should be able to contact us and find our post office box and that we meet on second Tuesdays and all of that. So you did exactly what I was about to ask. And I would just like to say to our president, Melinda Walker, thank you for being online with us tonight and leading us through the pandemic pretty much. And Ms. Inez, we are very grateful for you opening up this space for us tonight and that it's recorded and people will be able to go back and listen and learn and hopefully be blessed. And thank all of our sisters and everybody who's online and everyone who gave us their gift of time this evening to share with us. May God bless you and keep you in his care. And again, we can't thank you enough. And we hope that you don't have to go through what we went through. But if you have to, just know that the only way to get to the other side is you have to go through. And there's always someone there to hold your hand through it. And if you think you're alone, call on God, and he will never leave you or forsake you. So thank you so much for signing in, and we look forward to being with you again and again.
Yes, 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 yes. I'm going to give you a hand clap if you ask for it. That's my idea. And again, we want to see if Reverend Ron wants to say anything. Is he there?
Sure, I'd like to. Yes, I'd like to say this was a very informative session, and God bless all of you all. And if you don't mind, I like to give all y'all a little medicine tonight that will go with you, and it'll make you stronger on your journey. If that's all right with you, I'd just like to pray with you all for a moment.
Amen.
Yes.
Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for your outstretched hand of mercy that have kept these ladies through these trying times and have brought them to this point in their lives. Thank you for giving them a heart of outreach for others.
Yeah.
You said in your word that we should be concerned about others. And Lord, we thank you tonight. We thank you because you hear us when we pray. And we ask, Lord, that you give all of the women on this line, if you would have mercy on us, give them some medicine, Lord, where they're well forevermore, in the name of Jesus. And then let the listeners, those that are listening in around the world, but let them know that there is hope and there is someone that cares. We thank you tonight. We believe you. We walk in victory because by you, all is made well, and we thank you, Father, tonight for these women being strong, being courageous in their faith, increase their faith even more in the name of Jesus. We count it done, healing for everybody, even the listeners on this phone, healing tonight, healing for those that are going and finding out, healing already before they go to the doctor, before they go to the different physicians. We declare healing already. And thank you, Lord. Strengthen these people. And then, Lord, make provision for them everywhere around the world that those that might walk in or those that might call in concern. Lord, let them have an answer of hope through you. In Jesus' name we pray. Thank God. Amen and amen. Thank you all,
amen.
Ladies.
Amen.
Thank you all for your informative
amen.
Information.
Thank you. Any last words from the Sisters Network, Inc., out of Austin, Texas?
Thank you, Alice.
Yes, my pleasure, Deborah. I just like to thank you, Miss Inez, because we have, for those that are on the line or don't know, this was a very short notice, but, you know, when it's something that's important and on your heart, you have to share.
Yes.
God made it so that we would cross your path. At least put some thought in your mind. But just when we're talking to you, just don't think about you. Think about the sister next to you. If she's having
mm-hmm.
problems, if he's having problems, let's encourage and say, come on, I'll go with you. But what it is we are glad to stand and just say we are proud survivors. We are proud caregivers. We are proud to share this information with all of you that are listening. Thank you very much, Ms. Inez and Ram
Ron.
You
are so welcome.
Ms. Inez,
thank
one
you.
Other thing.
Thanks to everyone involved tonight. Appreciate my sisters being on. I didn't think I was going to be able to be a part of it. So happy that I am. And even through this tonight, I learned a couple of things, that I have a sister named Mary Alice that I didn't know. I just know her by Alice. But as I said, I did not even realize that she knew as much as she knew about men with breast cancer, having lost a
mm-hmm.
relative. But again, we do want to continue to talk. And I really thank Sister Deborah for being in charge tonight, or Sister Alice. But we were trying to, as I said, at the last minute, try to get people involved, and it happened. And it was,
mm-hmm.
you know, it just makes you feel good when you're able to share, even though it's sometimes, you know, it's a sad story in a way when you look back on it. But then as soon as you finish, I mean, you might have a tear, but then you just say thank God for bringing me to where I am today. And as I said, I'm very grateful to be a part of this organization and have the fellowship of the sisters that I have of all ages, and, of course, our supporters as well. And we have a story to tell, and we know that we have work to do. Why God has us
yes.
here, and in any way that we can be of service, please call on us. Thank you.
Ms. Inez.
Mm-hmm.
I'd just like to also reiterate that Mary Dawson, a very fine lady, unique in her own way, she the one brought the idea to me. I was sitting up thinking, and we were talking, and she said, you know what? I said, yeah, I got an idea. I said, what is it? She said, let's get Sisters Council of World this month. Let's get Alice and her group on from out of Texas. I said, okay, fine, do that. And you see it happen. So we want to just thank her, give her applause, Mary Dawson, because she worked hard to bring this thing to us. All right?
My last thing that I would like to say is that just remember that October, they celebrate it being Cancer Month, but breast cancer happens all year long.
All year long. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
yeah. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Amen, amen, amen.
That's all.
Anybody else want to say anything? Ladies, ladies, ladies of the Sisters Network, Inc., Alice Fulton, Melinda Walker, Deborah Duncan Hurdle, Irma Butler, Miss Mary Dawson for bringing us, Miss Kim Solis is still out there, Sharon Schrouder, everybody, I just want to thank you for sharing your stories of survivorship, of love, of sisterhood. I want to give an applause to each and every one of you for still being here. So this is another applause for you. And women do not need to die from breast cancer. It can't be prevented, but early stage breast cancer has a 99% 5-year survival rate, meaning it has been localized within the breast. So, you know, if you find it, they can localize it as long as it's not, you know, inflammatory, it's not radical, whatever. I wouldn't say normal cancer, but it can be localized. So, ladies, men, get checked. We love you. We want you to stay here and give us those survivors' stories. And we just appreciate and applaud each and every one of you. And you're welcome back anytime on Miss Inez Says Let's Talk About It to bring awareness of this devastating disease affecting so many black men and women. And, of course, a thank you to the callers and the Let's Do It Radio Worldwide listening audience. I call this next little part announcements. You know, in order to keep Let's Do It Radio on the air, donate to Cash App to $ANAISEVALCOUR. Again, that's $ANAISEVALCOUR, so we can have more of these sessions and keep the radio online, or to Venmo to @MZ-INEZ. Or if you know my telephone number, you can send it through Zelle. We're open to sponsorships. And so if you want to become a sponsor, you can send me an email to letsdoitradio@gmail.com. But coming up, hopefully in December, the young lady or the lady who has started Blog Talk Radio, Let's Do It Radio, she passed away a year ago, December the 21st, and we're hoping to have a memorial service for her in Yakima, Washington, by the name of Sharon Salisbury Frazier, and it's planned for December. And if anybody wants to be on the show, let me know. Email me, snail mail me, call me if you know my number, and I can put you on program because I like to have a live program. And this Sunday is Fifth Sunday, and we have Pastor W.F. Pride Jr. out of Yakima, Washington, with Grace Temple, Church of God in Christ. And all of our services and segments start at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. And so please join us on Sunday if you have nothing to do. November 1st and 3rd, we have another Miss Inez Says Let's Talk About It. We usually talk about relationships, but we talk about anything like this. If it's important and I can get it together, we're going to have a show on whatever, you know, topic that we can get together. So, like I said, it took 2 days to do this, and it was 2 great days. And so we did it because God said we need to have it. And I'm so glad that he was in the mix and in the works of getting this together and it being a success. So thank you, thank you, thank you. But on November the 3rd, Thursday, either I will be on Miss Inez Says Let's Talk About It or Sergeant James Park, and he has a segment called Keeping It Real. And then Tuesday, November the 8th, don't forget to vote, but I'll be here. Miss Inez Says Let's Talk About It, but the gentleman who you heard speak, Reverend Ronnie Marshall, he has a Don't Turn Away From God album, and you can support him by going out to Amazon, iTunes, any music media, and buy his record. Let's support him as he supports us. He's almost on every night that I'm on, which is Tuesday through Thursday and Sunday. So I just appreciate him when he's able to join us and give his good word of God and just being out there. So thank you, thank you, thank you. And he does have another album coming out around Christmas time. So that may be something that be a stocking stuffer. So as I said earlier, I have been your hostess for the evening, Miss Inez, CEO and fashion designer of Inez Dalco Designs. And you can find me at www.anaisedalcour.com. And I can be found on Facebook and Instagram under the same Inez Dalco. And I have a question to you all. If you were blind to the ways of mankind, would you want your eyes open up to those ways? Think about it and ponder on it. Until the next time we meet, take it off your chest and let's talk about it. Thank you again, ladies, for surviving and fighting and being here to tell your stories. Double deuces up. Peace out. Thank you so much again for joining us this evening. Have a good evening until we meet again and stay alive. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you and good night.